Throughout the past few weeks, the Sunday Mass readings have been that have been presented to us, give us an opportunity to meditate upon the mysteries of the mystery of the Eucharist. Each week, we've heard verse by verse the proclamation of chapter 6 of the Gospel of St. John. This entire chapter is a catechesis on the Eucharist. It's divided into three parts. You have the miracle of the loaves and fishes, the walking on the water, and our Lord's Bread of Life discourse that he gave in the synagogue at Capernaum. The two miracles that precede Jesus' discourse are essential to a correct understanding of his discourse on the Eucharist. These two miracles illustrate the fact that Jesus is truly God because of his divine nature. He can multiply the loaves and fishes, and he can walk on water. These miracles testify to the fact that he is divine. He can do as he pleases with physical reality. And the point made here is very clear. If Jesus can intervene within these physical realities, then he can also change bread and wine into his own body and blood. Those who heard Jesus' discourse on the Eucharist understood exactly what he was saying. For this reason, they rejected his teaching. We just heard, as a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. By the way, this verse just happens to be John 6:6:6. I would presume that it would have been at least 60 of his disciples that left, since earlier we heard that Jesus sent out his disciples, 72 of them, two by two. The doctrine of transubstantiation 2,000 years ago is still difficult for many Christians, including Catholic Christians. Every believer knows that it occurs only by the power of God and in a way that we cannot detect with our senses alone. We know that transubstantiation takes place through the certainty of faith. Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, said, "This is my body. This is my blood." And faith is a vision far superior to reason. But it doesn't contradict reason, precisely because faith relies upon the authority of God, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. When it comes to the Eucharist, the bottom line is either Jesus is true God and true man, the incarnate Word of God, or he's a complete and total lunatic. Either the Catholic Church possesses the greatest gift known to humanity, or we are idol worshipers. Let us review what our Lord said last week. Amen, amen, I say to you. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day, for my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Jesus was not speaking symbolically here, as some so-called scripture scholars claim. If he had been telling his disciples that the Eucharist was merely a symbol of his presence among us, you know, he wouldn't have let so many of them just walk away. He would have explained his words, as he had done on other occasions, to them and assured them that, you know, they must have misunderstood him. Instead, what did he do? He stood firm, and he watched them leave. Then he turned to his apostles, and he asked a sobering question. Will you also go away? And without hesitation, Peter, the first pope, pronounced one of the most beautiful statements of faith found in the Bible. Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe that you and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. You know, the real difficulty of Catholicism is twofold. Catholicism demands an act of total surrender to Jesus, the Lord and the Savior of the universe, with a complete acceptance of him as a final authority. And Catholicism also demands a moral standard of the highest level. The difficulty for the first disciples and for many of his disciples today is to accept the Eucharist is true with all its implications. Many refuse Christ, not because he puzzles the intellect, but because he challenges our moral standards. He raises the bar. You know, every Sunday, or even during the week, we worship at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and we receive the gift of the Eucharist without even considering the thousands upon thousands of our brothers and sisters who throughout history, even up to the present day, have given their lives precisely to defend what we do at every Mass. And we do it without any obstacles at all. We need to imitate great Catholic saints and martyrs like St. Athanasius and St. John Fisher, St. Thomas More, and St. Edmund Campion, who all stood firm and alone during difficult times in history, the history of the church. And we just need to remember those words of St. Peter, you know, Lord, to whom shall we go?